إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu ordered us, the believers, the Muslims, to help each other in goodness and not to help each other in evil. Both are specific instructions, both are specific orders. Help each other in goodness and do not help each other in evil. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, help one another in al-birr and al-taqwa, which is, birr is virtue, which is piety, and taqwa is the consciousness of not offending and not going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's instructions in any point in our lives. But do not help one another in sin and transgression. Ismi wal udwan. Wattaqullah, and fear the anger of Allah. Have taqwa. Inna Allaha shadidul iqab. Please understand, Allah did not say Inna Allaha ghafur rahim. Allah said Inna Allaha shadidul iqab. Allah said, verily Allah is very severe in punishment. So the focus here is not even on making tawbah. Allah is saying, don't do this, otherwise you will pay. Do not withdraw your help in times of need when somebody is promoting good. And do not help in the spreading of evil. Otherwise fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you that Islam spread with the brotherhood of faith, which is based on this ayah. تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَتَقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. The formation of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not formed. It was not based on race or tribe or culture or language or color or any of the forms in which we collect and gather today. It was formed on this basis of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. And therefore, it is the quality, the differentiating factor, the brand of this Ummah, that we help each other in goodness and we stand by each other to oppose oppression and injustice, to actively stop injustice, evil and disobedience of Allah. This is our hallmark. Who is a Muslim? Man or woman? The one who does this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a standard for justice. And in the famous ayat of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kunu qawwameena bil qisti shuhada'a lillahi, walau ala anfusikum, awil walidaini wal aqrabina, in yakun ghaniyan aw faqira, fallahu awla bihima, fala tattabi'u al hawa, an ta'dilu, وَإِن تَلْوُوا أَوْ تُعْرِضُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even if it is against yourself. Admit your fault. Stand for justice as witnesses to Allah, even if it is against yourself or your parents or your relatives, your kith and kin. Be he rich or poor, Allah is a better protector to both of them, you and the other person, than you can be. So do not follow the lust and desire of your heart, lest you commit injustice, lest you avoid justice. And if you distort your witness, or withhold it, or refuse to give it, both have been covered. You either give false witness, or you keep silent when you should be speaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily Allah is well acquainted with what you do. In either of these cases, Allah knows what you are doing. When the truth must be spoken, to remain silent is culpable. It is punishable. As we all know, Harvard Law School put up this ayah on their portal and they called it the finest example of justice. And as we all know, the Muslims forwarded this news everywhere. on WhatsApp, on email, on all kinds of chat groups, this news that Harvard Business School has recognized this ayat of the Quran and called it the finest example of justice. This was forwarded everywhere. But the thing to see is not what Harvard did, but what we are doing with respect to being just with those that we deal with. And who are they? Our spouses, our siblings, our children, our family, our partners, our customers, the creatures who share this world with us, the environment that we have been entrusted with, our fellow citizens of the countries we live in, and fellow citizens of the world. And above all, to see if we are being just with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and His Messenger Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Each of them has rights over us, and we will be judged on the basis of justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. To help in goodness is to do justice and to ensure that justice is done. To ensure that others also do justice. To raise your voice against injustice that they may be engaged in, even if they are your brothers. To disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is injustice in itself. And to disobey Him as well as making Him your adversary when the one you dealt with unjustly will stake his claim before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the ultimate of stupidity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the responsibility of enjoining good and forbidding evil to every individual in this ummah, not only to the ulama, not only to the muftiyin, not only to the scholars. It is the job of every Muslim man or woman to enjoin good and to forbid evil to the extent that they are able to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhawna anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are the best of people and you have been extracted and selected for the benefit of people. Ukhrijat linnas, for all the people. And who are the you? The Muslims. تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And what is your job? Why have you been selected? To enjoin good and to forbid evil, and you have faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that it is the job of every Muslim to enjoin good and forbid evil no matter where he or she sees it. On the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, who said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whoever sees an evil deed, let him change it with his hand. And if he is not able to do so, then let him change it with his tongue. And if he is not able to do even that, then let him hold it as hateful in his heart. And that last one is the weakest of faith. It is a sign of the weakness of faith. It is not one of the acceptable things to do. If we find ourselves in a situation where we are neither taking action against something wrong, and neither do we have the guts to speak against it, even if you are holding it as hateful in your heart, then this is a sign of sickness of the heart. We need to go and cure that sickness. You don't want to die in that situation, believe me. Because if your heart and if your iman is so weak that it does not even allow you to speak out against evil in your society, how is that iman going to take us across the sirat? How is that iman going to help us when we go into our qabr? It's a serious sickness of the heart which must be addressed and which must be cured. In the time of Abdul Malik bin Marwan, the Khalifa of Banu Umayyah, one day when he came for Salatul Eid, as we know, the process for Salatul Eid is that first there is the Salah, and after the Salah there is the Khutbah, which is the opposite of Jum'ah, where the Khutbah is first and then we have the Salah. In Salatul Eid it is the opposite, the Salat is first and then there is the Khutbah. And the Khutbah of Salatul Eid, it is mustahab, it is good to listen to that obviously, but it is not fard. And if somebody prays the two rakat of Salatul Eid, and if he is in a hurry or something, and if he leaves, then there is no sin on this individual. So Malik bin Marwan changed this order. Instead of the salah first and then the khutbah, Malik bin Marwan came and he started giving the khutbah. So a man stood up, and this is reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. A man stood up and he said, this is against the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not how we pray Salatul Eid. The salah must be first and the khutbah must be later. Malik bin Marwan said, sit down. This is now the sunnah. The man sat down. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, what the man did, he has fulfilled his duty. He stood up and spoke against evil when this matter was being done. Now, obviously, you might say, well, why did Malik bin Marwan do that? He did that because when the injustice of the ruler exceeds all bounds, then people will hold the masala. And they will not listen to the khutbah because they don't want to listen to something which is evil. And they don't want to listen to a person who is not following the Sharia. So they would pray Salatul Eid and they would go. So now the ruler is standing there and there is no one to talk to. So he decided to be clever and he decided to change. So unless you pray the Salatul Eid, your Eid is not over. So speak first, they can't go anywhere. But this is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the man stood up to him. And this is a good example for us how we need to stand up and speak for justice when the time comes. But please understand that the one who is not following the religion, the one who is himself not on justice, does not have any voice to speak against injustice. My brothers and sisters, it's part of justice to stand up for justice and against injustice. Today, not only do we deal unjustly, but we dislike those who warn us for our own good. Remember that when injustice spreads in the land, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends warners before He sends His adab. As long as there are warners among the people and their voices are heard, the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is withheld and Allah gives people the time to change. Warners are a blessing from Allah. So let us pay heed to them and change our ways before Allah sends His decision. Let us not fall into the trap of those who suffered the adab of Allah because they shut the voices of the warners, because they did not like what the warner was saying, because it went against their own best desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this specifically in Surah Al-An'am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but when they forgot the warning that they had received, when people were given the warning, and they refused to heed the warning, when they forgot the warning, when they went against the warning, what did Allah say? What did He do? Did He punish them? No. Allah said, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah said, we opened for them the gates of all good things, until in the midst of their enjoyment of our gifts, all of a sudden, we called them to account. We seized them. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ. That the word means to catch, to seize. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. Instantly, without warning. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. And they were plunged in despair. They were not even given the time to make tawbah. My brothers and sisters, someone asked Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi. They said, you say that good begets good and evil begets evil. But we see that people indulging in haram seem to be getting wealthier and more powerful. Imam al-Shafi rahmatullahi recited this ayah. And he said that when you see people indulging in evil, getting bolder and more wealthy and more powerful, then know that the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already begun for them. When these people start, Allah makes wealthy people in a community, the leaders and role models. We see that in our community. You will see this across the world. The whole world tries to emulate and imitate the wealthy. You spend extravagantly in your marriages because according to you, Allah diya to kya karna? Dene wala rokta bhi. Dene wale ko lena bhi aata. Magar hum bhul gaye. Aaj ghaate bane ke baat sunta main sach bolu. So you spend extravagantly in your marriages. What do? I have had our servants coming and asking for loans. Saying why?
बेटी की शादी, बेटी की शादी में तुम भाई से कहे व्हाई आर यू स्पेंडिंग बाय डॉटर्स वेडिंग, व्हाई आर यू स्पेंडिंग इन डॉटर्स वेडिंग, नहीं तो लोग क्या बोलेंगे, व्हाट विल पीपल से, अल्लाह क्या बोलेगा, आई डोंट केयर. हु इज सेटिंग दिस ट्रेंड, हु इज सेटिंग दिस ट्रेंड, आर यू फॉलोइंग योर सर्वेंट्स और आर योर सर्वेंट्स फॉलोइंग यू, स्टॉप फूलिंग योर सेल्फ. अल्लाह सुब्हानहु व तआला सेड दिस वेरी क्लियरली. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said that people, Allah makes the wealthy people in a community the leaders and role models. When these people start committing sins publicly, openly, and they invite others to participate with them, then they are inviting the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the entire community. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqah radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this question. She said, Ya Rasulullah, when the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes on a community, what about the people who are pious? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the azab of Allah comes on a community, everybody is affected. Everyone will suffer. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward the pious people for their piety separately. But in this dunya, you will suffer. Whatever happens to everybody else will also happen to you, despite the fact that you are building masajid and madaris and you are praying five times a day and you've got beards down to your ankles and you've got pagdis which look like domes of mosques on your head. None of that will save you if you are indulging in haram or if you are silent when haram happens before you. None of that will save you. In this dunya you will suffer like everybody else. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us not play games with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, listen carefully, he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, all the sins of my followers will be forgiven except those of the mujahireen. Mujahireen. Those who make jahar, those who make visible that which was hidden. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is that? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, an example of this disclosure is that a person commits a sin at night, and though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala screens it from the public, then he comes in the morning and says, I did such and such last night. This is what I did last night. What a time I had. How wonderful it was, and so on and so forth. He is talking about what he did at a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had covered it. He is making it public in the morning. The person has removed the screen which Allah put over him, himself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will forgive all the sins except this kind of person. Now ask yourself this question. This is being said about one individual talking about one sin that he committed in the night or in a place which was hidden from the people and spoke about it. What do you say about those who not only commit sins publicly but invite others to participate in that commission of sins? What do you say about those who welcome those invitations and who accept those invitations and you sit there and participate and enjoy that sin when it is happening? And then they claim that they are pious. My brothers and sisters, please stop fooling yourself. Because a time will come when we will have to answer. The religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a joke. It's not a game to be treated without respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was Samad, He does not need us. We need Him. So don't anger Allah. In this context, we must see the ayah with which I began this khutbah. Helping in goodness and not helping in evil. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Help one another in al-birr and al-taqwa, and do not help one another in sin and transgression and rebellion. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in punishment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in hadith in Bukhari, he said, help your brother whether he is an oppressor or if he is oppressed. They asked him, they said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we understand that we should help our brother if he is oppressed, but how do we help him if he is the oppressor? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, help him by stopping his oppression. help him by preventing him from oppressing others, because otherwise Allah will punish him. To disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to invite others to participate in that disobedience is the worst form of oppression. My brothers and sisters, we have just come out of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this blessed month to enable us to seek His forgiveness and to make changes in our lives, which will inshallah lead to Jannah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah for all of us inshallah, and for protection from the fire. For those who made the effort, Ramadan cleaned their track record, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them the chance to make a new beginning. How evil would it be to once again fall into the same pit that we were rescued from by the mercy of Allah. So let us make sure that our record is clean and that it remains clean. We are all participants, men and women, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters. We are all participants helping one another. Let us make sure that is only in good. The special reference to women, because the raising of children and the atmosphere of the home is their particular responsibility, in which the men must help them, but the primary responsibility lies with the woman, the mother, the wife, the sister. Today, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, and His power and His qudrat, the Muslim woman is the symbol of Islam, not the Muslim man. Today, globally, the Muslim woman is the symbol of Islam. And she is the one who bears the brunt of attacks by terrorists who attack Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our sisters and strengthen them so that they can pass on that steel to their children and raise a generation that can get us out of the morass that we are in. In this context, I would like to refer to our habit of eating meat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran minaz zann. Inna ba'da az-zanni ithm wa la tajassasu wa la yaghtab ba'dukum ba'da ayuhibbu ahadukum an ya'kula lahma akhihi maytan fakarihtumuh wattaqullaha innallaha tawwabur rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, avoid suspicion. Indeed, some suspicions are sins. And do not spy on one another. And do not backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it, so hate backbiting. And fear Allah. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts repentance and who is the most merciful. So don't eat meat. Become vegetarian. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has oppressed another person concerning his reputation. What is the meaning of oppressing concerning reputation? You are talking ill about somebody. The person may not even know. You are causing damage to that person's image. You don't even know the truth of the matter, but you are spreading stuff. Somebody forwards you something, you spread that. All of this comes under the same banner. Rasulullah ﷺ said, whoever has oppressed another person concerning his reputation or anything else, he should beg him to forgive him before the day of resurrection, when there will be no money to compensate for wrong deeds. But if he has good deeds, then those good deeds will be taken from him according to the oppression which he has done. And if he has no good deeds, the sins of the oppressed person will be loaded on him. How tragic is it to live a life full of good deeds of your own, but to lose them all to somebody else on the day of judgment, and then to be thrown into the hellfire with the sins of that other person loaded on your shoulders because you could not control your tongue. How truly stupid is it to not only lose your good deeds, but to send them to the one you dislike. And that's why Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi said, if I had to do ghibah, I would do ghibah of my mother, because at least my good deeds would go to her. As Eleanor Roosevelt said, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, on the day of judgment, we will not be asked, what did you know? We will be asked, what did you do? So let us not lose all the good that we accumulated in Ramadan by going back to the old days of talking about others and doing ghibah. Ghibat is to say something truthful but negative about someone, which if they heard it, it would hurt them. To say something false about someone is even more evil, as that is buhtan or slander. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you to create an atmosphere of obedience inside your homes. Remember that children listen with their eyes. Introduce them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And introduce them to the obedience of Allah and the obedience of the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And introduce them to that in the only way that is possible, by doing it yourself. Stop fooling yourself. If you are disobeying Allah, and if you are going against the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then remember your children and their children will do the same. And those sins will be recorded in your book of accounts, because you were the role model for those children. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greatest tragedy will be people who will see their children thrown into the hellfire, and they will know that they were the cause of their children going into the hellfire. Think about that. Do you want to be the cause of your children going into the hellfire or not? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah said, this life is but an instant. Let it be an instant of obedience. My brothers and sisters, let your homes be a standard against which your children can judge the society outside your home and decide what is right and what is not. Let not your homes be a shadow of the evil of the society that we live in. Today we complain about the society outside our homes, but we don't stop to ask, what is different inside my home? So ask and change that atmosphere inside your home, because you will be questioned about that, not about the society at large. My motto in life, which I want to share with you and give you as my Eid gift, is, I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. I will repeat that. My motto in life is, I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. Finally, on the subject of helping one another in goodness, which is the theme of this khutbah, it is the duty of everyone in authority to make it easy for those under their authority to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This applies to your families, to your servants, to your employees, to those working in your institutions, or who are affected in any way by you. You will be rewarded for the good that they do as a result of you making it easy for them, and get a share of that good without decreasing their share. Similarly, you will be punished for any difficulty that they have in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of rules that you created, or because you gave priority to your desires over the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beware of banning hijabs and not giving time for salah, and banning beards and banning the sunnah and banning the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that this is our institution has to be this way and that way, and that way and this way is your desire, and it is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and is against the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beware of that, because if you do that, then you are committing shirk. Make no mistake, you have imposed your rule where a rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, and that is shirk. Make absolutely no mistake, that is shirk. My brothers and sisters, the final hadith with which I want to end this khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a Muslim is a brother of another Muslim, so he should not oppress him, nor should he hand him over to an oppressor. Whoever fulfills the need of his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill his needs. And whoever brings his brother out of discomfort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that person out of the discomforts of the day of resurrection. And whoever screened a Muslim, Allah will screen him on the day of resurrection. And this book, this hadith is in Bukhari. I ask you to ask yourself this question. Do you want the protection of Allah? Seriously, ask this question. Do you want the protection of Allah? Do you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to screen you on the day of judgment? Do you want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya wal akhirah? Then if the answer to this is yes, then this solution is very simple. Do that to others. Help other people. Screen the evil of other people. Don't go around talking about it. If somebody tells you, tell him, please don't tell me, don't involve me in this, I'm not interested. Go talk to the person yourself if you are so concerned. Don't spread all kinds of rumors about people that you have not even verified. Even if you verified it, even if you know it is absolutely true, it is still prohibited to spread it. So where is the question of spreading something that you don't even know, that you have not, that you are not even sure about? My brothers and sisters, let us understand, this life is short. We have already lived a long part of it. Some of us have lived as much of it, and we don't even know whether what we have left is equal to what we have already lived. Whatever it might be, a time is going to come when we will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without a doubt. There is absolutely no doubt about this, that a time will come when we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَٰلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, this is the day of truth. And therefore, let us prepare for that day. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which does not please Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable the benefits of Ramadan to continue in your life for the rest of your lives. Just a reminder for those of you who have not completed the 6 days of fasting of Shawwal, you have till the end of the month. Please fast for 6 days consecutively or individually, doesn't matter, as long as you do it within the month of Shawwal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will give that person the reward for fasting for the entire year, because Ramadan is equal to 10 months and the 6 days is equal to another 60 days, and that takes care of the whole year, and this is according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let us complete those fasting. Those of you who have already finished that fasting, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the reward for that in keeping with His majesty and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.